welcome to Falcon Cast. Matt Moore here with Jay Adams and DJ Shockley. Free agency edition of Falcon Cast.
Oh, yeah.
Got some new nameplates to put up in the locker room, don't we?
We do.
It's good.
We
signed so far at the start of this Falcon Cast. We got four new guys, and actually three new guys and one guy who's been here is in Anton Smith. But let's go ahead and talk. We got Justin Durant at linebacker, Mike Person at guard slash tackle. He's a swingman, and linebacker Brooks Reed. Let's just start. Your thoughts overall on what Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, Scott Peel are doing so far in free agency.
Well, they're doing exactly what we thought they would do and exactly what they said they would do, trying to find value in free agency. And I know during the free agency period, everybody wants to talk about names and splash and all that. And Thomas said at the combine last month that, look, we're not going for splash. We're going for fit. And that's exactly what they've started out going with. I mean, you're doing exactly what Dan Quinn did in Seattle, and that's taking mid-tier guys and trying to put them in the right situations to become top-level guys. And Durant and Brooks Reed are perfect examples of that. Although I think Durant is kind of an overlooked, kind of overshadowed guy. I'm super excited about this guy. Veteran experience, comes in. He was a captain for the Cowboys last year. But if you let him, he's the kind of guy you let him run free.
Yeah.
He can be a heck of a linebacker.
Jay, I think you hit it on the head with a lot of different things, especially about the fans. I know everybody wants that big name. And as we all know, you sign that big name, they have a big contract, it's hard to sign other guys, all that kind of stuff. So I like what they're doing as far as who they're trying to get in here. And we talk about the word fit, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear the word fit because it doesn't mean, hey, they're spectacular players, but they are great guys who fit into a good system. And everybody talks about you got to find the right guys for the right situations, and I believe both these guys are right fits. They both fly around. You see the energy. You watch them. If you ever watch the Houston Texans or you watch Dallas play, both those guys are always running to the ball. And yesterday you guys had a little interview with both guys. And I remember him talking about Justin Durant, said, hey, I'm a run and hit type of guy. I like to go and I like to get after people. And he says he's real competitive with his teammates about, hey, meet me at the football. And that's what we need. You need that kind of energy around here for guys who want it, who want to be there. I'm not saying the guys who were here last year didn't want it, but you can tell these guys have a little bit more as far as energy, intensity, especially when they come from they've been playing for, I think, what is his ninth year, Justin Durant?
Ninth year for fifth year for Reed.
And another thing is when we talk about things on the field, and I was listening to him talk yesterday, and he talked about helping younger guys and how guys have helped him. And a guy who was here when I was here, Mike Peterson, was a guy who helped him out.
What sold me. As soon as he said Mike Peterson was his guy.
Yeah, Mike Peterson.
Shouts out to Uncle Pete.
Yeah, Uncle Pete and D-Block is one of the best guys. He's a guy I look up to.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't play football, but he's a guy in the locker room that's, you know, I know Jay. I'll speak for Jay as well, that one of our favorite people to ever walk through this building.
I mean, he was one of my favorite, too. And he was on defense. And
yeah,
I used to go around and just talk to him. You know, he was always lively, always upbeat. You know, we know Mike P. You know, mm-hmm. He was the leader of D-Block and all that kind of stuff. But just hearing him talk about that part of the process, mm-hmm. of bringing guys in, it's kind of what we talked about a week or two ago, was you need to bring guys in here who can also be good locker room guys as well. And I feel like both these guys are good locker room guys who are going to help the younger guys come along and teach them stuff.
If he brings 5% of what Mike P would bring to a locker room, this locker room will improve dramatically.
Easy. Yeah, and I think the important thing about both of these guys is that they're really hungry. I mean, Durant spent time in Jacksonville and Detroit and Dallas, and you talk about an eighth-year, ninth-year backer. He's starting to hit his stride right now. He's still in his prime. He's trying to find – I think a home at this point. Yeah. And, you know, he's going to be hungry to do that here in Atlanta. Brooks Reed is a guy who kind of fell into the mix and on that Houston defense. They got a lot of names there, a lot of talent there. Yeah. I really loved him coming out of college and feel like he can be, if he's put in the right situation, he could be a star linebacker. So he's another hungry guy.
And if you don't recognize, you know, you'll see him with all that hair flying all around the place and stuff. You see that. But another thing that I like about both these guys are they could easily be on the field for three downs. Both guys can stay on the field because they're athletic. They can move. A lot of guys are asking Brooks Reed about his pass rushing ability and him being able to get after the quarterback. That's another attribute that he has, that he can get on that edge, set the edge, get upfield, and then also pressure the quarterback or drop into coverage and be that type of guy who is not a casualty when you put him in the coverage. So I like both these guys being able to play all three downs and stay on the field and have that energy while they're on the field for all three downs.
It seemed like in the interviews with Durant and Reed, something I thought that was refreshing is they both said they pride themselves on tackling.
Yeah.
And not missing a tackle.
Yeah, and I think you've improved on the defense with these two guys. I mean, Reed is a heck of a run stopper. He's going to play the strong side, it sounds like. And when you talk about the strong side, that's the side you're running to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's the kind of guy that can make that tackle in the open field, which is probably the most challenging thing to do in football.
Hey, Chuck, will you explain this? Because, I think if anyone listened to the interviews, you can hear them on AtlantaFalcons.com. They're played, all the media outlets were available for the interviews, but they were asked, hey, where do you fit in on this defense? And you heard, Durant and you heard Reed say, they're asking me to play the Sam, they're asking me to play the Will. Can you explain what that means, in the football term? What that means? Where will we see these guys, and what will their role be?
Obviously, sometimes you see a Sam linebacker is obviously the strong side linebacker who sets the edge most of the time. Sometimes he's outside of your defensive end as the pass rusher type of look, or he can play off the football as well and rush the passer that way as well. But the Sam linebacker usually goes to your strength side of the field because he's a guy who can run. He can, get sideline to sideline, and also he's good against the run. Your Will linebacker is a guy who's good versus scraping. He plays the weak side, but you also got to have a good weak side linebacker who can scrape going to your strength or also hold his own ground, especially when you run the ball weak. Because most times as a quarterback, we're looking at numbers on an offensive line or defense. And when we're thinking about going from a pass to a run, and usually we want to run to the weak side. We're going to run where there's less numbers. And if you have a guy like Durant who can control his side of the field just because you have numbers, but he's still athletic enough where you can't get outside him, he can still set the edge as a weak side linebacker, that's the type of guy you want. And the weak side and strong side doesn't mean, hey, this guy's one is weaker than the other. It just means that he's athletic as well, but at the same time, you want somebody just as strong on the weak side as a strong side. It goes back to, you guys remember the Titans when the guys were yelling, strong side, it's just a different type of player for different sides of the football. And, one other thing I was going to bring up was Brooks Reed talking about his versatility. How he could, if they ask him to play inside, he could. If you want him to play special teams, he could. And then also knowing that Dan Quinn's defensive scheme is kind of easy to pick up. And that's what you want. You want a guy who can go out there just run around, like you just mentioned, run around, hit people, play, not have to overthink stuff. That way you're out there, you're just playing fast, and that's what you want, especially when these guys come in here now. You want them to come in and have a foot on the field right now, ready to go.
And then, another thing, mentioning Durant, he comes from a football family, doesn't he, Jay? His brother has a championship in the CFL.
Yeah.
The Rough Rider, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Darius Durant. Former Tar Heel, I believe, right?
Yeah. So he's got a brother in the CFL. He's got another older brother, Keyshawn, who suffered a stroke in his 30s and has really served as inspiration for both of his brothers, one in the CFL and obviously Justin here in Atlanta. So there's some football pedigree there. You can kind of tell some of these guys who have been around the game a lot. You talk about like Desmond Trufant, he comes from a football family too. You can just feel something there. They know how to carry themselves in the league.
And one name that kind of gets lost in with the new guys that we mentioned a second ago is Anton Smith, which is a huge get in free agency. It's kind of, I feel like it's gone completely under the radar that you just signed probably one of the biggest playmakers that NFL saw last year before he got hurt.
Well, the linebackers are the shiny new object, and so we're all kind of focusing on that. But Anton Smith, here's the thing I love. Everybody wants to talk about his big playability in the offense, and I completely agree. I think he, though, is the third piece in what I believe is a strong special teams unit that the Falcons have focused on this offseason, along with Nate Stupar and Eric Weems. I think those three guys, you talk about three guys who compete with one another, which is something that Dan Quinn's been looking for.
Man.
All right, three guys that compete with one another in special teams tackles, and it is – something to watch. If you're not on Twitter watching Nate Stupar and Eric Weems go back and forth, you're missing out. And we need to get Anton Smith on there, for crying out loud. But these three guys, I would put up against any of the any other tacklers in the league on special teams. I think you know, return men are going to have a really, really hard time against these three guys if they stay
healthy. It's hard for me to recall watching a game not seeing one of those three guys making the tackle. Mm-hmm. I mean, on punt, it just seems like it's ridiculous. They can't even – he's one of the guys who's out there with the gunners, and he just runs by everybody. He's always the first one there. We know my boy Weems is always out there talking and running his mouth, but he always ends up around the ball as well.
Yeah.
Stupar, I mean, it's just – you got to have those type of core guys. Yeah. And this is another situation where you say he fits it. You know, he fits what they want to do. Keith Armstrong does a good job with the special teams, and – those three core guys will bring the other eight guys along. And regardless, those you can count on those week in and week out of getting their job done. They're not ashamed, or they're not saying, hey, I'm just a special teams guy. They treat that just like they're playing receiver or they're playing linebacker, whatever it is. They treat that. That's their job, and, you know, that's how they live in life.
The one thing I notice about the NFL is that guys who are special teamers, who are known as special teamers, take a lot of pride in that. These three guys are no exception. I think of another guy who was known as a special teamer who was around here, and that's our good friend Coy Wire.
Oh, yeah.
Great special teamer. I grew up watching Steve Tasker with the Buffalo Bills. Great special teamer. I mean, these are guys who have a sense of pride about what they do on a daily basis. I think this is really one of the underrated stories that has come out of free agency, is getting these three guys. I think we'll hear more about this as we go, because Dan Quinn, all we've heard this offseason is, we want to get fast on special teams. Yeah. That's what he said. That's all he's told Keith Armstrong. They've done that with these three signings, and I think big things are ahead for that phase of the game.
I think pride is a big word for it, and guys who play special teams understand the importance of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people on the outside look at it like offense, defense, offense score points, defense stop people, but there's that third phase that always matters. And you think about, I remember when you know, Smitty was here, he talked about beginning of the game, most important. Coming out of the second half, most important. And guess what? They start with special teams. Mm-hmm. Somebody runs a kickback, or, you know, just think of how much a game changer it is when Devin runs a punt back. How much that changes the game, gets everybody going. I mean, special teams is overlooked by so many people, but it means so much to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I sit next to Jay during the games in the press box, and about game five every year, we say, well, at some point, the other team's going to learn that you got to double team Anton Smith.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Because he can't block. But be blocked on.
He by can't himself. Be. And the other thing is, Eric Weems can't either. And so you've got to figure out, you got to pick your poison.
I see on kickoff, when the Falcons are kicking off, other teams on kickoff return, as soon as they kick the ball off, they have a guy that runs straight to Weems and tries to block him and stop him right now, just to slow him down. Even if you don't stop him, you just slow him down so he's not the first guy there. I mean, that's a game plan on special teams that people don't even realize that happens, because he's making the plays, and they got to find a way to stop him. And you doing that right off the bat, that means, hey, he means something, not only to special teams, but to this game.
If my favorite video that was produced on AtlantaFalcons.com last season was the Eric Weems mic'd up against Carolina Panthers. And it shows exactly that.
Yeah.
And it shows what you two were just talking about, the pride he takes and how tough he is on special teams.
And then he talking junk to my boy. My boy from Georgia, Fernando Velasco, asked me if he needed them donuts.
And he also told the best linebacker in the game, arguably, Luke Kuechly, that, well, you're lucky you didn't come this way, because I would knock your block off.
You got to respect a guy like that. And I know that we talked about the special team side of things. I know fans want to hear about Anton Smith from an offensive standpoint. You know, he has got that home run ability. What I really love about this year in particular and bringing him back is the zone blocking scheme.
Yeah.
That one cutback.
And him and Devontae Freeman are just perfect. They're tailor-made for this type of running scheme.
The other free agent signing is guard Mike Person, who, you know, we mentioned here. And one thing he talked about in that zone scheme was the running backs have to trust it. And that's the most critical thing you have. And both those guys are the type of guys who they find that one hole and they hit it and they're gone.
And they both have experience in it. They've run behind it their whole career.
And they fit it. They fit it. I mean, a lot of people look at
another guy that can cross-train.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Different positions.
And that's big. Cross-train is huge. I mean, it frees you up in other spots for your team, that you got one guy who can go all the way down the offensive line. That makes a coach's job pretty easy. You have one guy who can do that, so that you can maybe focus on defensive backs more, or linebackers, or whatever position that may be short. It allows you to have more guys at a particular position.
All right, good stuff, guys. That was made me even more excited about these free agents, hearing you guys talk about them for sure. All right, break with Boseg, my favorite time of Falcon Cast. What do you got, my man?
Hey, Brian. What's up, Brian?
How's it going,
what's
fellas?
Brian?
All
right. What's up, Bobo?
What's up, the CFL? Someone's brother is in the CFL.
Yeah, we said Justin Durant's brother.
Justin Durant. Thanks for paying attention, bud.
Well, I wanted to make sure before I went on. Who's your favorite CFL team? You know, that's not very popular of a sport. I'm just curious. Who's your favorite CFL team?
Well, I will contradict you on that. It is a very popular sport.
Yeah.
We actually, you know, the CFL does well. We've got some friends up there. Our good friend Kyle Scott does all the digital media for them, and he keeps me updated. If you watch the Grey Cup, man, it's packed. People get excited for the CFL.
It's like 8 degrees in the Grey Cup, but hey, I mean.
Well, but I'm gonna go with the double E, the Edmonton Eskimos, as my CFL team. For many reasons, they got a scout that comes out here a lot that's really friendly and very nice, and also Dave Archer, our good friend Dave Archer, played quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos.
Arch, right. My dude.
I got to go with the Hamilton Ticats.
With the Box J Boys.
The Box J Boys and Oski Wee Wee and all that stuff. Kyle Scott turned me on to the Ticats, and they got this group, this rabid group of fans known as the Box J Boys.
Like your supporter group in soccer.
Yeah. They wear
what are they called again?
Box J Boys.
Box J Boys. Oh,
Box J
Boys.
Nice. So obviously it's got my name in it. So I got
obviously.
Box J Boys.
Obviously.
But they wear yellow and black kilts to games, and they have swords. I guess they allow them to bring sharp objects into the stadium.
Next Falcon Cast, I want you all to look for Jay in his kilt.
You wouldn't be able to see it. I'm
any
wearing
Box
a kilt
J
right
boys.
Now.
Any Box J boys want to send a kilt down.
Yeah. So Ty
Jay be all
me.
About it. So I like the Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
The Rough Riders.
That's rough a tough ride. One. But I like the Rough Riders too. But I also like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Not just because of their name is the Blue Bombers, but my boy Terrence Edwards.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, didn't Terrence Edwards?
He broke all kind of records. He's up there for a long time, and he's always trying to get me to come up there. He said, hey, they got your rights. You need to come up here. I'm like, what? What do you mean they got my rights? I didn't understand it, but I like the Blue Bombers because of my boy Terrence. That's pretty much the team I kept up with because he was on it, so. I like the Blue Bombers.
And shout out to the Montreal Alouettes, who are our good friend Bear Woods.
Yeah.
If you guys remember Bear Woods, he's like the CFL. Bear is up there, and he was like the defensive player of the year for the CFL last year.
He still got those.
James Rogers.
James Rogers
also
is up
there. Also in the CFL.
Yeah, certainly. Another friend of ours up there.
So contradicting it all, both sides
here.
The CFL
is
get
very
you on
popular.
Wikipedia
as you can
something.
See, we
yeah,
keep up with it.
I got to change your name. It can't be Brain anymore.
I think what I meant to say was I'm not that into the CFL. I need to get more educated about the CFL.
How many
that's
yards?
The way to clear it
the
up.
The rest of the world is.
How many
way,
yards is
way
the
to
field?
Save yourself.
I don't know. Yeah,
have you ever seen a game that's really – can they can catch touchdowns behind the goalposts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I grew up watching arena football. I never watched the Canadian League. I gotta get
Georgia
out
Forge.
I'm gonna get
actually
you
watching
man.
Georgia
I
Forge
apologize.
All the time.
You're gonna get some Dave Archer highlights from the Canadian football.
Don't say that around Archer, right? Don't say you don't like the CFL around Archer.
I never got into it.
We'll get you.
We're gonna get you.
All right, what else you got, Boseg?
Free agency. A lot of players are traveling around, visiting other teams, traveling a lot. So I was just curious, when you guys travel, if you've ever been on a road trip, what's your craziest or funniest memory that you've got?
Crazy.
Something we can't mention here.
I tell you what, man. When I was younger, we didn't go on many because I was always in sports and stuff, so I didn't go. I did some, but might have been my rookie year. Matt, you might remember this. In 2006, they had Lawyer Malone on the team and all that, and we were coming from a game in Carolina. And as soon as we take off, there's turbulence or something, and the plane drops like, I don't know, 5,000 feet or something. And I remember Lawyer... His head goes up, hits the top of the plane. Guys are all over the place. Guys are distraught. And I just remember this is crazy. Nobody's wearing seatbelts. We're all just walking around back there. Probably not good, but we're just walking around. And I remember we dropped a couple guys' head hit the ceiling. I remember guys had to go in and do concussion protocol. I was like, this is bananas. So I'm like, this happens all the time we fly?
We have had some... Bad crazy charter flight. I mean, some of the wildest flights I think I've ever been on have been in the charter. Because I want to say they got to play fast and loose with the FAA rules up there, right?
Gotcha.
Not we. The Atlanta Falcons completely comply with the FAA rules. I'm looking at you, my man, Spencer Treadwell, who's in charge.
Spence.
I'm going to get an email from Spence now. I know you got to say that one famous harrowing flight that you guys always talk about. Everybody talks about the flight to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that one was scary. You look out and it's just complete fog. Plane's kind of doing this move. And then you land and everyone's like, oh my
God. Oh, no way, for real?
You're coming in like a leaf.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, that was good. I thought, you know, I was going to say, both like, I wasn't going to go like Falcons road trip. I was going to say, I went to a Georgia Ole Miss game.
Oh.
Back, I think, shock you. We played Eli Manning. Were you on that team?
Really? No. Eli? No.
No.
How old do you think he is?
I don't know. Yeah, we played. No, whatever. I was in school then, though. You were there.
I was not. I didn't.
You might have been a freshman.
I never went against Eli Manning. Never.
It might have been the year before he got there. Anyway.
What year was this? I had no play. I was like, I got there in 01.
This was after 01. Played at Ole Miss.
I never
Noon
played,
game.
I never played at Ole Miss, though.
I'm going to look the year up. I'll get back to you. But I didn't have a place to stay. And so we just slept in a church.
So you just went and had nowhere to stay?
Mm-hmm. And then went to the game.
Slept in
day.
A church?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get in the church? It was just...
It was unlocked.
What?
You and how many people?
Two other.
So did you like bring food in there and everything too?
No, I just slept. Just got up and went to the tailgate.
You just used their bathroom and everything.
No, didn't even do that. Just needed a place to rest. Just needed a place to sleep for a few hours.
Did you have to sober up too?
No, I was completely sober.
What?
Yeah. We got there really late.
Jay is over here scratching his head right now. He's like, I don't know about this.
Just trying to process. It's
just, that was a good road trip. Drove all through the night.
Sounds
need
like
a place
it.
To
nice.
Get a couple Z's, and there you go.
I got two. One was my first road trip, which was with the Falcons, and it was to Miami. So we went to Miami. I had no idea about, like, you know, NFL road trips, anything like that. And we get to our hotel and we are literally right on the beach. I walk into my room and I look outside and there is the beach right there. And it was really something. I had one of those balcony moments where I'm just like, wow.
You wanted, like, take selfies and stuff like that. That's what you wanted.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
all that.
No doubt.
Stuff. Yeah. So, and then another one of my favorite ones, we were talking about flights. It was another trip to Philadelphia that I was on this time, and we were coming in kind of like that. Philadelphia, that airport's kind of notorious for strange landings, and things weren't looking good for a while, you know. So, you know, we're coming in, and we're maybe 500 feet off the ground, and all of a sudden you hear yelling from the back of the plane is Todd McClure.
Mud Duck,
and he goes, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
No way.
In the middle of the plane, everybody starts dying. It broke up the tension because there are a lot of guys on that plane that are scared to fly. And so it broke up a lot of the tension. Everybody was just laughing and all of a sudden we hit, you know.
Yeah, Todd used to always do the coming in hot.
Coming in hot,
yeah.
That
was good.
But yeah.
Mike, I mean, Matt, do you remember who, I think it wasn't Joe Horn. Somebody could not fly. They drove everywhere. I think they talked about they made
yeah, no, that was Joe Horn.
That was Joe Horn. Joe Horn took a bus everywhere. Yeah. It was like, how did you go to the Pro Bowl? He's like, I drove right up to the water. And then, like,
it was definitely Joe Horn.
I remember Joe used to sit on the plane before we take off, and he would like put a hat or he'd put a jacket over him, and he would literally just sit there the whole time with the thing over his head. We was like, he's Joe, he's playing. He would literally have that over his head and he'd take it off and he was just terrified.
I remember we did this free agent press conference and I walked out and there's a big like RV tour bus.
Big RV, yeah. He rode
the
RV
Madden
everywhere.
Cruiser.
There are seriously, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on the guys who are afraid to fly. And you think about how much we fly in a year and there are some guys that are straight up terrible.
Dude, I'm afraid of heights, so I ain't gonna lie. I get nervous every time. I hate the dropping, and man, I get terrified. I ain't gonna lie. I'm one of those guys who's sitting there, and I'm holding the edge of the seat like this, gripping it really, really tight. I can't take it, man. I don't like it.
We do need to do a podcast devoted to travel stories.
Yeah, we really do.
Amazing, because I got a few
good
more.
Topics, Bozak.
That's great. Do you have a video of the week for us here?
We have a video of the week.
Yeah, speaking of all this traveling stuff, if you're afraid of heights, if your flight crashes.
Sometimes, that is terrible.
Sometimes you get into emergency.
Flight crashes? Why would you say that?
I'm
not flying anywhere for the next couple of months.
Just in case.
Just in case your flight crashes. Just what you should do.
Preparing for emergency situations.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this, Shaq.
Sometimes you need this.
I see. This looks like a training exercise we're looking
at. They're testing. They're preparing in case their flight were to crash.
So I think what is that thing? They're trying to get the raft open, right?
That's a raft?
Yeah, it's a flotation device to escape the plane.
It is going to unload on him, I bet.
I think they got to take the pin out.
Oh, jeez.
And they can't figure it out right now. They don't know what they did wrong.
This dude is in trouble. I can tell already.
Oh! Oh, my God. That's a... Whoa. What the...
Oh, where's the guy? What happened
here? Where is he?
They swallowed him up.
Oh, my God. Is he under there? No way.
Why do you need a raft that big?
And here's what it's supposed to do.
Okay, I see. Okay.
They should have turned it around the other way. They had it the wrong way.
You know, even on bazookas, they put an arrow on which way it's supposed to be.
So which way
you're
supposed to go, right?
My goodness, they couldn't do that on this raft?
You know how happy I am that we did the video of the week. This is great.
I think this is going to become a recurring thing. It'll have nothing to do with the Falcons at all, but this is just fascinating. I learned something new. That's what else. So we're just
going to...
All right.
And the fact that you guys showed like five clips of it going right.
How it's supposed to go,
and that one's just totally bad.
Oh, okay. Man. I tell you what. That is a great... Bosek, you win. You get a medal.
Your name back, Brain. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's end it with the little guess who. Who you got, Brian?
Guess who action. Here we go.
I'm crying from watching a guy explode in a raft.
All right, guess who?
How insane is it that when we went to the moon 50 years ago, iPhones had more computing power than the computers that sent men into space? Okay, so that's a guess who.
Guess who tweeted it.
That's true, too, I think. Right?
I believe it's true.
Sounds about right.
If it's on Twitter, it's true, right?
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
This is going to be...
I know who it is.
That iPhones had more computing power than the computers that sent them into space?
One key word that gives it away.
Wow.
If you're big on Twitter.
Here you go.
It's a keyword?
Mm-hmm. There's one keyword that gives it away.
Insane?
No.
Computing has to be, right?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Other words are very bland right
now. I'm going to say iPhones. Keyword. All right, you guys don't follow Twitter as much. I'm going to tell you, it's our boy... Nate Stupar, who is a gigantic iPhone freak. He must be rolling in.
He's
some
big
Apple
about
money.
iPhones. Why is he so big about it? He loves.
I don't know.
He
loves he's just a really loyal.
Oh,
customer.
He just an Apple guy, or he just loves the iPhone?
Apple. Well, it's an iPhone thing, but I mean, he was like he got like one of the first iPhone 6.
You know what I did?
So whatever new one comes out, he's about it.
Got it. I remember that. Anything Apple, he's just all about. So
that's great. Good stuff, Brian. Right. Good stuff on free agency, guys. This was a very fun.
Oh, you going to hit it this week?
We're going up there.
Thanks to Guy on the Couch. Thanks to Brian Bosek. And we'll see you next week.
Boom! Oh, so close.
No look.
No look. With the light.
But here's.
This looks like me when I crank my
lawnmower.
Okay, so now we got 1, 2, 3, 4 people.
I know, I was about to say, I want to see.
look at my man on the left. He's just like, man.
They just had one guy turn his back like, this is what we're waiting on.
These people probably have great expectations.
And the guy in the white shirt really wants to be the one to do it.
He does. He's trying. He is like really. So okay, let's say we're in a burning plane. We're all by this point we're done.
If you're in a burning plane, these guys are really.
These guys are done. There's no way the smoke is. Oh.
And, yeah. It doesn't even touch the water.
Like where did he go? He might. Is he under to the left, or did he get blasted all the way down the hallway?
Oh my god!
He comes out. Look.
He's trapped. There's no way.
He comes out. He comes out.
Can't find
him.
Is he in the pool? That's him?
Yeah, in the white. He comes back.
That's not him. Where is he?
Upside down.
No, that's him.
That's him. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah,
that's him. Yeah, that's him.